Thank you, brother.
Amen. Praise God. Well, we bring greetings to each one of you in the name of the Lord, and so glad to be back here in Hillsboro with our family, church family. Amen. Good to see you. Thank God, each one of you. You folks are folks that we're going to spend eternity with, and that's a good thought, isn't it? Amen. Good to have my wife with me here today, and it's a pleasure to do the work of God together. Amen. Well, I want to give honor to your pastor, Brother and Sister Wiggins, and thank God for their ministry here. And we have known the Wiggins for many, many years. I'm sure many of you know that. But one of the special times we had together is when they were missionaries in Spain. My wife and I were there with them for a while. And Megan sat between Brother Wiggins and I in the front seat on many of our trips. And I teased her mercilessly. And she loved every minute of it. She was probably about 11, 12 years old. And so we created a bond there that we still have to this day. And we love and appreciate Sister Megan and she and her family. Praise God. Well, let's pray and ask the Lord to touch his word this morning. Precious Lord, we thank you now for the privilege that we have of going into your word today. Pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to what you have for us. You know, God, exactly where we are, each one of us, and I pray, Lord, that your word would spark, Lord, that ability to continue to move to a new dimension in you. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Praise God. I don't know why it is, but the last three times I have preached here, you have collected an SOC offering. I don't know how that turns out. But this is the third time that I have been here, and I've only been here about three or four times, that it just seems like Brother Wiggins calls me to come at the same weekend every single year. There's nothing wrong with that. I just thought it was a little ironic that, we love children, love children's ministries, and our church also is doing the same thing. And thank God for the work that this church is doing in helping children's ministries. Amen. I believe in children. Thank God. Amen. Thank the Lord. Well, this is probably going to be more of a teaching lesson than anything here this morning. And what I want to talk to us about is our relationship with Jesus. You know, if your walk with God is stagnant, then you're missing something really, really special, very profound. I was thinking, I'll be 68 here in a few weeks, and thinking over the period of my life, and especially my mom and dad. My mother and dad raised me in truth. For that, I'll be forever grateful. But I was just thinking of my relationship with my mom and dad and how that relationship transformed. Now, my mom and dad didn't change, but I got older and I changed. And I was thinking about my relationship with Jesus Christ and how that God doesn't change, but we change, don't we? And I think it's important that we understand that there is a principle here that that we're going to talk about today as far as that transformation. When I was young and when we were all young in our homes, our relationship with our parents was based on four letters, N-E-E-D. It was based on need. You couldn't earn a living at the age of three, four, five. There was no way to get the things that you needed. The food on the table had to come from your mom and dad or from whoever it was that raised you. Clothes on your back. You didn't make those clothes. Somebody gave those to you because you had a need, right? And no matter what it was, whether you went to school or your parents took care of all of that, most of us. And our relationship with our parents at that age was based on need. I had a need. Mom and Dad provided it. After I left home and moved on to go to college and then started my family, my relationship with my mom and dad changed. Now, guess what? Mom and Dad were still the same. They didn't change, but my relationship with them changed. No longer did I need to be with my mom and dad, but now I wanted to be with my mom and dad. And that love relationship was not based on what they could do for me, but it's who they became to me. Does this make sense to anybody here this morning? So that being said, it's important that we realize that our relationship with Jesus Christ is also what I call biological. In other words, it is not something that is static. It is something that is biological. In other words, it grows. It develops. It moves through stages. And it's important that we as Christians, when we come to know Jesus Christ, that we understand that there are so many things that he does for us. But at some point in our lives, in our walk with God, there needs to be a change, a transformation of our relationship with him. And this is what we're going to talk about here this morning. In the business world, there is a statement that says, what got you here won't get you there. Anybody ever hear that before? What got you here won't get you there. So if you're an entrepreneur and you're starting a business, you have certain skills that help you to develop that business and get started to where you're starting to make some money, you're starting to sell some things, or if you're not selling, maybe using your skills and things of this nature. But you see, for you to bring that business to another level, what you did to get the business started is not enough to get to the next level. To get to the next level, you've got to do something different than what you did to get to where you are right now. Now, some of those things have to do with more education. Some of the things have to do with learning more skills, maybe computer skills, learning new computer programs. Because I'll tell you one thing, in the business world, if you don't change and if you don't adapt, you will die. How many are anybody here an entrepreneur this morning? You work for yourself? Nobody? All right, one? All right, when I say work for yourself, I'm talking about in any capacity at all. Mowing lawns for people, you're an entrepreneur. So when you learn that things are going to change, you're going to get competition. Somebody else on the block is going to say, I'm going to mow lawns too. So you got competition now. So what got you the job is not going to get you to the next level. You're going to have to up your game. You're going to have to do something different to be able to compete. And let me just give you a little quick example. When the change came from the horse to the automobile, there were a lot of people that went out of business because no longer were horse whips being made. Buggies weren't being made anymore because people were buying automobiles. And so you either adapted or died, one of the two. Now, I said all that to say this. This, what I'm telling you here is just kind of a metaphor. It is a bridge to help you understand. When you come to Jesus Christ, you come with some needs in your life. But you can't continue your walk with God very long if that's the only way that you have your relationship with him. And we're going to talk about that here just a little bit this morning with the help of the Lord. And I want to speak from this subject here today, brought by need, kept by love. Would you say that with me this morning? Brought by need, kept by love. So what brought you here is not going to be what keeps you here. Let's just talk about that here today. We're going to turn to our Bibles here this morning. If you have your Bibles or if you'd just like to look on the screen, that's fine as well. We're turning to the book of Exodus, chapter 21, verse number 2. There's a principle here I want to use in describing this relationship change in our walk with God. It says, if thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve. How many years is he going to serve? Six. You guys are good. You are good. And the seventh year, he's going to go free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he'll go out by himself. If he were married, when you bought him, then his wife is going to go out with him when it's all said and done and he's finished his 6 years. But if his master has given him a wife and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters and he shall go out by himself. In other words, what you got in the master's household, if you leave the master's household, you leave all the blessings behind. Can I tell you something? If you backslide, you're going to leave all the good things that God has done for you right back in this, not in this building, but you're going to leave that behind. You can't take that with you. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, I love my wife, and I love my children, I will not go out free. So here we've got a man who has served his 6 years. He has the ability now to go free. And he says, well, wait a minute here. I love my master, and I got married while I was here, and I love my wife, and we've had some children. And I love my kids. And so I choose not to leave. I choose not to leave. Well, here's the problem with that. He was a slave or a servant that owed 6 years to this man. Now he's free. He can do what he wants. So his relationship with his master has done what? It's changed. All right? And then his master, if he says, I don't want to leave, then his master is going to bring him under the judges, and he shall bring him to the door or under the doorpost, and his master, now this is going to hurt, folks. This is going to be painful, so just hang on. He's going to bore his ear through with an awl. Now, if you don't know what that means, it means he's going to poke his ear through with a nail. He's going to pierce his ear. And it says, and he shall serve him forever. He shall serve him forever. Nobody wants to be in need. That look comfortable to you? You like to have empty pockets? No. Empty pockets means no options. It means no options. So nobody wants to be in need. To be needy means that you lack something. Well, let me get back here. We'll talk about them in just a few minutes. To be needy means we lack something, and everyone likes to think that they're self-sufficient. Anybody here love to depend on other people for things? I don't see any hands go up. Everybody wants to be independent, self-sufficient. And to be in need means that you are not self-sufficient, and it hurts our, sister, you said it, pride. You read my notes, didn't you? It hurts our pride to have needs in our lives. But I'm going to tell you something here this morning. Being human is part of the way that God designed man, and being needy is the same. Isn't it interesting that God brought Adam into the world, full grown, but no other human being has ever been brought into the world that way. God could have just, I mean, there's plenty of dirt here in the world. The last I checked, there's still dirt out there. And that's what Adam was made of. And God could have just kept taking dirt and making man. Did the same thing over again, but he didn't do that. Every human being since Adam and Eve had been brought into the world needy. Have you ever seen anything more helpless than a baby? This grandchild that you have, is it a grandson, granddaughter? Grandson, what is his name? Matthew. How old is Matthew? 3 weeks. He's probably out there on a job right now working and earning his keep and his pay. No, as a matter of fact, Matthew's taken everything he can get, isn't he? He's taken everything he can get. He can't. Listen, Matthew can't even raise his head up at this point. Matthew can't walk. Matthew can't talk and communicate. Well, he can communicate, can't he? Yeah, but he can't talk. So you talk about being needy. His food. He can't even get his own food. He can't change his own diapers. That's pretty needy. Come to think of it, we kind of go out of the world the way we came in, don't we? I won't get into all that, especially the diaper part, but it is amazing how that cycle takes place. But I'm just telling you, God created us needy. He really did. So I want you to notice how God created man. He created Adam first, and he made man without something that he needed that Adam didn't even know he needed. And what did God say? It's not good for Adam to be what? Alone. Now, Adam didn't say this. Adam didn't complain about this. God said, Adam, you've got a need, and I'm going to take care of that need. So he took a rib from Adam and made a companion for him, a woman, and Adam called her Eve. And the beauty of this is that before man was ever aware that he had a need, God was already ready to meet that need. Isn't that beautiful? That even before Adam knew that there was a need, God was ready to step in and take care and meet that need. But I want to show you this morning how needy you and I really are. How needy we are. Now, what if I took away everything from you today that you did not create for yourself? What would you have left? So I got a question for you. Anybody here build your own house? I didn't think so. We're taking that away. You don't have a house anymore, by the way. Anybody here sew your own clothing? Create, you may have sewn a dress, but did you make the cloth? No? We're going to take that away. How about your shoes that you're wearing? Anybody make your own shoes? We take that away. What about the food that you have in, what about the car that you drive? Anybody make your own car? Anybody create your own car? No? No? Well, then you can't have that. We take that away. What about the food in your refrigerator at home? Anybody grow all of the food? Now, you may have grown lettuce and tomatoes. That don't count. What about all the other things in your refrigerator? Did you grow all those things yourself? No? We're going to take all that away from you. All right? So, by the way, what about the knowledge and the information you have? Did you come up with that all by yourself, or did you have to go to school, and did they give that to you there? You went to school, then we take that away. So you're left with what? Nothing. You are left with nothing. You see, you're not left with much when you're left with only what you produce yourself. Can I say that again? You're not left with much if you only have what you produced yourself. So what does that mean? We are really needy. We are really needy. But in reality, need is a blessing. Need is a blessing. I want you to think about this. Without need, every person would be an island. Without need. Need is what brings people together. We need companionship, so we reach out to others to make friends. Our need for food causes us to go to the grocery store, and that brings us in contact with people. Our need of shelter makes us call for a builder. Our need for repair for our vehicles means that we've got to now take it to somebody who can repair it. And we come in contact with them. You see, there are benefits to need. Things that because if you hadn't had a need, you would never come in contact with these people. So you would not have any money if your boss did not need you. So the important thing that we recognize here this morning is that need is not always bad. Need can be a blessing. And really, need is what makes the world go round. So we who like to think that we're so self-sufficient and so able to take care of ourselves must come to the awareness that we really do need others. We really do need others. So don't ever despise your need. Need can become your greatest blessing. Need can become the opportunity that God provides to give you more than you expected. And that truth is borne out this morning in our scripture reading today. In this reading that we had in the Old Testament, we find a Hebrew man with a very profound need. He had borrowed money from someone and hoping to pay him back. But the problem is that the debt had grown to more than what he could ever repay. And he knew now that he could never pay back the debt that he owed. So here's a man with a great need, all right? Now, the law of God gave to Israel, it provided for someone like this who couldn't pay for what he owed. And that provision was someone else could pay the need that he had, pay his debt, and then he would become obligated to the one, who paid his debt for him for 6 years. He worked for him for 6 years. He had to pay that debt off. So that man now became the debtor's master, and he would work for him during that period of time for free. Now thank God that God only set a limit for 6 years in that period of time to where you wouldn't be obligated to work for that man forever. So for 6 years, you had to work for that man for free. And he took care of your clothing and he took care of your food and things. But he had paid your bill for you, and now you were obligated to work for him because of need. Now, on the morning of the seventh year, oh, hallelujah. On the morning of the seventh year, he was allowed to go free. Everybody say freedom. He would no longer have a need, and now he was free to leave his master, and he was free to leave his work. But in our reading this morning, this particular servant found that his master gave him something more than just taking care of his financial need. He also found another servant in his master's household, and he had fallen in love with her. Not only that, but they were married. And not only that, but they started having children. They had a family. However, because they were under his master's care when he was free, he could not take his wife or children with him because they were his master's. So to be able to keep all these blessings, he had to choose to stay and serve his master for the rest of his life. Now, what brought him to his master was four letters. N-E-E-D, need. He needed his master. He needed his master. But guess what? There's no need now. The need is gone. Why? Because 6 years has passed. He's earned his right to be free. So his master has already paid the debt. He no longer owed the money. And now his need was met. The only thing that could make him stay now was what? Somebody said it. Love. Another four-letter word. You see, need is what brought him to his master. But now when you're set free and you have options, the only thing that's going to make you stay is love. Is love. Now we're going to get somewhere with this. Just hang on. We're setting a foundation. And I hope that by the time we're done, this will make sense to you. I want you to notice the order of love that the scripture says that the man plainly says. It says, and if the servant shall plainly say, the first thing it says is, not that I love my wife or I love my kids. He said, first of all, he said, I love my master. Say that with me. I love my master. Now, folks, listen to me. When he first came to his master, he came by reason of need, not by love. But somewhere along the 6 years, he fell in love with his master. He fell in love with his master. There was a change in the motivation for his relationship. It's like you with your parents. Somewhere along the period of time of adolescence, you switch from loving your parents for what they could do for you to who they were to you. Does that make sense? And those of you who are parents, you hope that this is the relationship you'll have with your children. As they get older, you hope that they don't need that money anymore. You hope that they may even fork out a little bit for you occasionally. You hope that the relationship they have with you is not based on what you can do for them, but it's who you are to them. You see the change, the transformation? Does that mean mom and dad have changed? No, it means we have changed. Now, folks, I'm talking about your relationship with Jesus Christ. At some point in your walk with God, your relationship with Him has got to change from need to love. From need to love. That's why I titled this message, Brought by Need, Kept by Love. Kept by love. You know, if you're needy for a long, long, long period of time, after a while, you'll even begin to resent those who are taking care of that need. You will resent having to constantly go back to them and ask for help. You'll resent that. But the relationship change when you switch the fuel from need to love transfers your whole inner being. It transfers the relationship that you have with your master from what can he do for me? And it's not just what can I do for him now. It's how can we be together? How can we enjoy our fellowship together? I don't have this in my notes, but I want to tell you there is a scripture where in the book of John where Jesus says, behold, I said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, what did he say? There you can be also. In his mind, was it that he was building us some great place because we needed a place to live? Or was it because he wanted a relationship with us? He wants the relationship. You see, God is willing to meet our needs, but he wants to be more than a need maker or a need fulfiller. He wants to be more than your Santa Claus. He wants to be more than your gift giver, provider. But at some point, that's where he finds all of us. There's nothing wrong with starting your relationship with God based on need. That's where almost everybody comes to the Lord. But I'm just saying at some point that needs to change from need to love. Need to love. So the very first thing he said was, I love my master. And then he said, I love my wife and I love my children. And he said, I will not go free. I'm going to stay with my master, my wife, and my children. Master first, then wife and children. Let me give a word to some of you who are young people or perhaps unmarried today. You need to find somebody to marry that loves Jesus more than they love you. You need to find somebody who loves Jesus more than they. This man said, I love my master, then I love my wife, and then I love my kids. You know, that's the way I figure this is if they love Jesus more than they love me, they will love me stronger than almost anybody in the world loves their spouse. Because if you love Jesus, you'll want to please Jesus. And Jesus teaches us how to love one another. So I want my spouse to love Jesus more than they love me. Amen. And that's exactly what this servant did. He was brought by need to his master, but what kept him was not need, but love. I don't know what period of time, the Bible doesn't say, but somewhere over time there was a subtle transition. There was something more than the meeting of his need that now attracted the servant to his master. It could have been the fresh and delicious food he was provided. Perhaps it was the kind way that the master treated him. Maybe it was the time that the master spent with him that made him transfer from need to love. It may have been the valuable skills that he didn't have that his master took time to teach him. It could have been the value that the master put into him, telling him how important he was and how valuable he was. Whatever it was, over a period of time, his reason for staying changed. He was brought by need, but he was kept by love. When the servant publicly declared his love for his master, his wife, his children, he was taken to a doorpost. The hole was punched in his ear with a nail as a public sign to everyone that no longer was he a need servant, but now he was a love servant, a love servant. He may have unwillingly been brought to his master by need, but now he willingly chooses to stay with his master because of love. Need is a very strong, strong thing, but love is even stronger, isn't it? Love will keep you when the need is gone. Love will always hold you longer than need will ever hold you. I was thinking about Jesus when I was thinking about this message here. When Jesus walked among men, almost everyone who followed Jesus had a need. Think about it. Almost everyone who followed Jesus had a need in their life. A few followed him because they needed honor, they needed prestige, and they felt that when they were around him. But everyone who came to Jesus came because they had a need. And still, even today, it's our need that brings us to Jesus. I don't know what it was that brought you to Jesus to start with, but I know that there are some who I pastored who came to Jesus because they had an alcohol and drug problem. That was the need. They couldn't overcome that. And they found that Jesus was able to help break that addiction. And that was the need that they had that brought them to Jesus. We had folks in our church that came because they needed to control their bad behavior that led to so much heartache in their lives. Some of them were in prison. And they wanted to get out of the physical prison, wanted to get out of their spiritual and mental prison. And they came to the Lord. And that was the need that drove them to come to him. Others came because they were overwhelmed with financial problems. And they believed that God could help them. And you know what? God's willing to help with all these things. How many found out that God is more than willing to help us with the needs that we have? I'm not in any way, shape, or form minimizing that here this morning. I'm just saying that after a period of time, we need to let our relationship grow and develop to become something more than just a need. We need to fall in love with him and let that relationship grow and develop. Well, I've had people in our church that came because they had their marriage was falling apart. Their relationships were losing their relationships. And I'm going to tell you here this morning, Jesus will never turn away a needy heart. He will never turn away someone who is in need. As a matter of fact, Jesus in Matthew 11:28 tells us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He begs us to come with our needs. Have you found this morning that he's faithful to his word today to meet your needs? How many have found that he is a faithful God, amen, able to meet, not only able, but willing to meet the needs in our lives? Praise God. But the question is, what happens when the sixth year is up? What happens when God meets our needs and those needs have been met? We had folks in our church that their marriage was put together. They didn't have the need anymore of their marriage need to be put together. We had folks in our church that were in prison when they came to the Lord through our jail ministry. They got let out of prison. They got a job. They got married. They got a good relationship, got a good job. They didn't have that need anymore. That need was gone. We had folks that were on drugs and alcohol, and the Lord helped them to get off of drugs and off of alcohol. And that need was no longer there. He took care of that need. And I've lived long enough, unfortunately, to see some of those whose needs were met, whose lives were blessed by the provision of the Master, whose lives have been beautifully put back together again, simply walk away from Jesus when they realize they don't need him anymore. They don't need him anymore. Isn't that a tragic thing? They served him as long as their needs were being met, but at some point they leave if they never learn to fall in love with Jesus for who he is and not just for what he can do for them. I know we're not shouting, we're not running the aisles here this morning, but there's a principle that I'm teaching that'll keep you living for God if you'll learn it, and that is we've got to some point learn to transfer our relationship from a need relationship to a love relationship with him. reminds me of the bride who is in love with the glamour of the wedding, but never falls in love with the groom. At some point in the life of every believer, there must be a transition from need to love. I know I've said that hundreds of times since I started teaching here this morning, but I want to drive that to where we never forget it. There's got to be a transition. There's got to be a transition. I've got to move. There's a biological relationship with Jesus and I. It's got to change from just what I can get from him to what our relationship with him can become. I'm bringing this to a close here this morning. Revelation 3 and 17, Jesus said to the church in Laodicea, said, you have said, I'm rich. You said, I'm increased with goods. You said, I have need. You see that word? Need. Need of nothing. And Jesus said, but you don't know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, Jesus is talking to a church like the church in Hillsboro, like the church in Oregon City. He's talking to a church of believers. These people told him with their actions and their heart, we are rich and need nothing. Now, the question is, who made them rich? Question is, who increased their goods? The question is, who met their needs? I'll tell you who it was. It was Jesus himself. But see, they had outgrown him because he had taken care of their needs. And now we don't need him anymore. The Laodicean church had their needs met, and now they believed they no longer needed Jesus. And matter of fact, he had been gradually shoved further and further from their lives until they finally pushed him to the outside. Now, do you know where Jesus is? Jesus is standing on the outside. This is where Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and what? Knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him. And what does it say? Sup with him, eat with him, fellowship with him. Folks, that's what Jesus really wants, is the fellowship. He wants the relationship. He doesn't mind meeting our needs, but ultimately he wants to fellowship. He wants to sup, to eat with us. And how unfortunate it is that these people whose needs have been met pushed him on the outside, where Jesus is forced to stand on the outside of his own church, knocking on the door, begging to come in. Isn't that a pitiful example? That's a horrible, horrible state of affairs to force Jesus out of the church and make him knock to get back in his own church. But the reason for it was because we've got a group of people that never learned to transition from need to love. I don't want to be that kind of person, church. I don't want to be that kind of person. I want to learn to transition from need to love. Amen. In conclusion, I want to bring you to what Jesus said to Peter. Do you remember the story that after Jesus died, rose again, came back to this world, Peter was having trouble. Peter followed Jesus till the very end, until he was crucified. And then he said to the disciples, I go fishing. Remember that? He said, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to my old life, my old way of doing things. It seems like I'm disappointed. Jesus has not really followed through with what I thought he would be doing. So he went back to fish. What did they catch that night? Nothing. They caught nothing. And guess who was at the shore waiting for them? The resurrected Jesus was waiting for them, and he called to them to throw their nets out on the other side. Do you remember what happened when he told them to? Their need was met. Did you hear me? Their need was met. He met their need. He was always doing that. But after dinner that night, Jesus looks Peter in the eye and he asks him the question. What was the question he asked him? Huh? Do you love me more than these? What was these? What was he talking about? Who were the these? The fish. Who said fish? You're exactly right. Peter, do you love me for who I am more than what I can just do for you? In other words, he was telling Peter, it's time to transition. It's time to grow up. Peter, I've got something in my mind that I want you to do. I want you to be one of my apostles. I want you to be someone who can open the door to the key, give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I want you to open the door to the Jews and then to the Samaritans and then to the Gentiles. Peter, I've got great dreams for you, but you can't meet those dreams while you're just wanting me to meet your needs. You see, what got you here is not going to get you there. You've got to transition from need to love. From need to love. So Jesus said, do you love me only because I can meet your needs? Do you love me only because of what I can do for you? Or do you love me for who I am to you? Praise God. Let's stand here together this morning. You may ask the question to yourself, well, how can I know whether I'm serving him because of need or love? I want to share three questions with you in closing here that might help you know the answer. Question number one, can you still love Jesus when he says no? I've prayed and asked God for things that the Lord didn't answer those prayers. My wife had cancer for 6 years. I saw during that period of time many, many other people who had cancer healed. And I begged God to heal my wife. He didn't heal her. He didn't heal her. She died on January the 3rd, 2010. But you know something in my heart, I made up my mind a long time ago, whether he meets all my needs or my wants or not, I'm still going to serve him. I'm still going to love him. I'm still going to praise him. Folks, we've got to have that kind of desire in our hearts if we really are going to transition to become who he wants us to be. Number two, second question, is he still master when it seems my needs are not being met? Number three, do I still love and honor him when his ways lead us down paths of pain and disappointment? Praise God. You see, loving Jesus for who he is and not just for what he does will revolutionize your walk with God. Amen. It'll revolutionize your walk with God. I don't know, do you sing the chorus here, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done? Do you know that chorus? That's okay. Anybody ever heard that chorus before? Falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. We're not going to try to sing that here this morning, but you know, there's nothing wrong with bringing your needs to Jesus. He can still heal. He can still save. He can still encourage. He can still deliver. He can do anything that you ask him to do. He's able to do that. But at some point, let's transition from need to love. Amen. Let's realize that we're brought by need, perhaps, but it's going to be love that keeps me serving him and living for him. Praise God. Amen. Let's just, where we are, let's just raise our hands and talk to the Lord this morning. Amen. Let's let him know our desire to transition. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for all the good things that you've done in my life. I thank you for all the needs that you have met, Jesus. God, they're too numerous to count. Lord, you have been my provider in so many ways, Lord. But Jesus, I want to love you not just because of what you've done for me and what you continue to do for me, but I want to love you because of who you are, because of your mercy, because of your great grace, because of your love for me, Lord. Hallelujah. And I pray, God, that you would help me, Jesus. If I'm still living on the area, Lord, of just loving you because of what you do, help me to transition. Help me to grow to love you for more than that, Jesus. Help me to fall in love with you, God, for who you are. And I pray, Jesus, that every one of us that are here today, God, we would find the joy and the beauty of that transition as we fall in love with you, Jesus. Give you, God, the glory and the honor that you're worthy of. Let's thank him, shall we? Let's give him praise. Let's lift our voices at the end of the service here, shall we? Lord, I love you. I thank you, Jesus, for what you mean. I thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for your love, Lord Jesus, to this church, Lord, in Hillsboro. Thank you for the work that you're doing right now, God. And we pray that you'd continue that work until you come. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Praise God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just love him for a few moments here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can just tell him that you love him right now. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy and your love to us today. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, the Lord bless you, folks. Amen. It's so good to be with you again. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.